wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
Wowee, welcome back after a huge week 18. What did we just see happen? The NFL delivered. They brought in the extra week of football, and by golly, it was absolutely astounding. Now, before I start going cream and pies all over my laptop here, I'll introduce my co-host, Cam. Cam, how you going? Did you manage to get down to Kathmandu over the weekend, catch up any of the tent pitching sales?
Yeah, look, I'm trying to get my tents dismantled at the moment. My tent was fully pitched. Well, actually, after the Ravens game, I was very sad. But yeah, pitched tent right up until the end of week 18, and I've just sort of managed to get it down.
It was disgusting. There was just lead pencils flying all over the joint. It was a great week, some great games, astounding ones. I think we'll get into it, shall we? We'll recap a bit of the week 18 and maybe just have a little talk about the season that was. The regular season is done and dusted. We now have all the playoff teams. Some were expected, some highly unexpected, let's be honest. And, you know, you're going to see by looking, we're going to go through some of our season preview, what we had at the start of the season, what we predicted. And we're going to hold ourselves accountable because, gee whiz, we just went through the list and there's some absolute shockers, aren't there?
Oh, yeah, some of them we got no credit. I think just the one that sticks out is the Bengals, your prediction. When you read us out that one later, it's worth a laugh.
No, that's good. But look, week 18 was a huge week. We're really excited. There was a lot of things on the line. So playoff positions, a lot of bonuses, incentives for a lot of guys. Some records were on the line as well. So it was all happening. We even got a starter on Sunday. So it was nice for us on the day. I don't know. I was having a bit of a relaxing Sunday, just got a flick on the footy in the background. Unfortunately, the Broncos weren't able to roll over the Chiefs. The fact that we almost got there, considering Drew Locke almost ran in more touchdowns than he passes he completed at one point, was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, Bronco, Locke was playing for his life there. I was actually surprised. You guys played very well. I mean, Chiefs didn't have, I suppose they had a little bit on the line there because they're now second seed, so they get a bit of home advantage until they do make it to the AFC Championships if they do. But yeah, it started off pretty well with those two games.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed them. That was good. Obviously, the Cowboys just went out and dust and understrength Eagles side. I suppose you shouldn't really take too much of it because the Eagles now slipping into the playoffs at seventh position. But I would say they're probably going to not last too long, even though they managed to rest all their stars over the weekend.
Yeah, 100%. Mikko will be very happy. He was the only one out of us three to actually make the playoffs at the start of the year. We would have said that's absolutely zero chance that that is happening.
Zero chance. But I think should we get into some games that had some playoff implications? What did caught your eye?
Oh, to start it off, I had to have the one, like I was sort of banking on lots of games for us to make the playoffs. We had a 3% chance and I needed us to start it off hot with the Jaguars to take out the Colts. Now, the Colts hadn't beat the Jaguars at home, Jaguars home since 2014. And geez, T-Law absolutely delivered.
Yeah, what the hell's going on? T-Law, a once in a generational talent, has been absolute ass all year. And now he decides to turn up on week 18 and actually throw some touchdowns and no interceptions. But I think it was the Jags defense. They just harassed Carson Wentz. They bullied Jonathan Taylor. They just made an absolute grind game. And the Colts couldn't get anything going and basically now traded Wentz for their future and got absolutely nothing back for it.
Yeah, I think Wentz really got found out there. Like, yeah, our boy Adam Gotz has got a sack, which was nice to see, but sacked six times. One intercept, one touchdown, a QBR of 4.4 and a rating of 74. That is dismal. And I think it plays into the fact that they said whenever Jonathan Taylor runs over 100 yards, as we've said before, you need to run the ball to win the game, they win 77 yards this week and they turns out they lost.
Go figure, hey? But that is just mind-blowing. I mean, and the Jags also win that game and they still manage to keep the number one draft pick for Christ's sake. So sure, they load up on a QB last year and they're going to load up on a defender this year. And I still don't think they're going to get any better.
Yeah, the franchise is just one that's going to struggle for eternity. I mean, look, a couple of years ago, what, 2016, 2017, they made it all the way to the championships. But yeah, that was I think they're just going to keep butchering it as they go. But it'd be nice to see them make some changes next year.
Oh, they absolutely. I don't know how the fuck they managed to wing their way into that one, but I think they've had 10 losing seasons outside of that one. They've had 10 losing seasons. So, look, we'll see how that goes. But look, that occurred. Jaguars won. The miracle happens. So then Steelers or Ravens pretty much win and you're in. Or the fate's not in your hands, but you give yourself the best possible chance to get in.
Yeah, the Steelers winning this game gave them a really good chance. They had a 10% chance to make it in because that only relied on Chargers Raiders, which we'll talk about later, being not ending in a tie. But we still needed, what, Dolphins to lose and a few others to lose. Look, Steelers, I think Steelers outplayed us. They've done what they usually do. First half, I find that they really take a long time to get into the game. Second half, they come home hot. Big Ben actually warms up after about half a game and a pie at halftime, and he really gets into the game.
Well, Jesus, yeah. I mean, he looked horrendous to start off with. They got absolutely no run game as well. That's what I think I found about Najee Harris as well. Absolute boner over him, to be honest. But he's just so rocks or diamonds, isn't he? Like, he runs out with 11 rush carries for 28 yards this week. Doesn't really get on for any receiving yards either. So he's not really putting up any meterage. And you can see it hurts them a lot because they're not able to get that down the field. I mean, you know, Chase Claypool, I wouldn't say he's been their best receiver. Pat Freiermuth has been the man for them. He's been the big target, and he caused probably the most damage out there over the weekend. But it was easily their defense that was able to put pressure on you guys because you had the class of 16 running backs managing to run it forward. But as the game wore on, it gets a lot harder to run it through, and you need to lean on your air game, and yours just wasn't there.
No, that's right. And I think that sort of dispels the rumor that, not rumor, the myth. Oh, it's not even a myth. It's just the narrative that I couldn't think of the word there, to be honest. The narrative that, oh, look, move on from Lamar because Huntley can throw and he's better. Look, Huntley did a good job for a few weeks, but no one really seen him play. So they'd seen him play now. They kind of got footage on him and they've worked him out pretty quickly. With Najee Harris, I found that weird. I actually don't know if he played in the first half. I didn't see him at all. They ran Benny Snell early and then Najee still had popped out in the second half. But as you said, didn't really make much impact. It was Freiermuth in those late stages in the game and in overtime. Deontay Johnson and Freiermuth really stood up. Big Ben made some big passes. Those guys got some huge catches. And look, that got him over the line in the end. The game was on the line and it was tight and tussle between both teams. I think we sort of ran out of players again. Cornerbacks all gone. And we did lose Tyus Bowser to an Achilles injury. So look, that hurt us as usual. But I think Steelers were just better in the end.
Yeah, you just got to be there at the end of the day, really. And the pin's just got to fall your way. Unfortunately for your guys, it just hasn't been. I mean, you've been in that many overtime games or that many close games. The amount of games that have come down to, you know, last second touchdown or whatever. It's just, you know, the flip of the coin, it just didn't go your way. So it wasn't your year. Moving from one overtime game to another, 49ers and Rams had some implications as well. I think 49ers win and you're in type thing. Correct me if I'm wrong. And they go to LA on their home deck. And they pull one out of their ass as well in overtime.
Yeah. Oh, this was absolutely brilliant. I think, well, the score early on, I think what Rams went out to a decent lead at the start, didn't they?
Yeah, about sort of like a 17-0, actually.
Yeah, okay. So that's the thing. I sort of looked at this game. I'm like, oh, yeah, Rams have got it. 49ers have done. The Saints are somehow going to scrape their way into the playoffs. But, look, they came home with a wet sail. Juwan Jennings, Tennessee, great. Scored 2 touchdowns. So that's looking good from him. But Garoppolo played serviceable, 300 yards. I know 2 intercepts and sacked a fair few times, but I mean, on the flip of the coin, Matty Stafford, 2 intercepts and sacked 5 times.
Yeah, I know. And you got to be fair on Garoppolo. One of those interceptions was an absolute miracle ball out of Jalen Ramsey. I don't know how he managed to hold on to that one. Like, that was elite. So there's not too much you can do about that. Definitely the other one was a shocker throw, but anyways, that's all right. I think, again, it's just, you got to hold on to your leads and you got to keep your foot on the pedal, I suppose. Whether the Rams, they were probably out of contention to get the bye anyway. So I'm not sure if they got up, they took their foot off the pedal a little bit. But surely when you're out there, those guys, they're still playing for pride. They don't want to lose regardless of what it ends up on the scoreboard or whether they think they're going to save themselves from injury or not.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I suppose the only other thing we wanted to say to come out of this game, we thought the most versatile player in the NFL was Cordarrelle Patterson, but surely Deebo Samuel has now claimed that title, throwing a touchdown pass.
Yeah, well, that was a dart too. Like, how the hell did he pull that out? So this man, he can run, he can catch, and he can throw. I don't know. Like, what do you do? Do you move Trey Lance down to three now? Maybe put him as number two QB?
Yeah, Debo QB one for next year could be it.
Yeah, I rate that. Dual threat, you know, it worked for you guys for a couple of years, but he's coming back.
That's right.
But I suppose we'll skip over a couple of games because the final overtime game that, you know, was causing all the fuss, everyone had their eyes on, this was the one. Chargers, Raiders, win and you're in again, but tie and you still both get in as well. So there was a lot of whispers and rumors going around. There was plenty of parlays running around on a tie. People were riding this home and fuck me dead, it got really close, didn't it?
It got super close. And I know they've also brought out all these stories now of, look, the Chargers took that timeout, which changed the Raiders' mind. The Raiders potentially were just going to kneel and take the draw or take the penalty and let it in the draw so they both make it. They took the timeout, which forced them to say, shit, these guys actually want to win it. They're going to try and get the ball back. Let's just go for the win, which in the end they did. Carlson nailed it, but like it's sort of disappointing that we're not going to see Herbert in the playoffs. And I don't think it's through any fault of his own. Staley has made some rare decisions throughout the season that's kind of hurt them. But this one, I don't know if it rests on Staley, but yeah, it's hard.
I think you could probably make that case. Like there has been multitude of times throughout this season, whether they've gone through the analytics, quotation marks, to say that it's best to go on fourth downs and go for the 2-point conversions in certain places. And it has cost them wins. It has cost them. And, you know, when you're just sitting on the outside, when you're literally a tie away, 0.5 of a game, those can come back to haunt you. I think, as you said, it's going to be a real shame we don't get to see Herbert because I think him and his offensive weapons, that defense as well from the Chargers, they could challenge some teams on their day. You know, I don't see them sitting there and I look at them and I go, oh, this is a Super Bowl threat. But on their day, they can come out, they can cause some issues to someone and the football falls the right way. They could cause a problem. Because, I mean, you saw Herbert, he absolutely dominated on some of those fourth and longs to save the game. Like, that was just ridiculous. Those two touchdowns towards the end in the last 5 minutes were unreal. Those drives were just electric. And he just had no timeouts as well. And you just saw, this is great game management. This is what separates the boys from the men. And he was an absolute man with a third leg hanging out, swinging it across the field and just showing everyone who's boss.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And I think the tweet of the week summed it up. And I sent that to you the other day. Some guy saying the fact that we now have to watch Ben Roethlisberger throw milk jugs 5 yards down the field instead of seeing Justin Herbert throwing piss middles down the yard, like down the middle of the field for 60 yards. Like he's got balls to take the game on. Like he's not just throwing check downs. He's not just throwing these short yardage passes, grinding out the game. He's just playing the game, love football, and just taking it on third down, fourth down. And he carried their team all the way into that overtime and through overtime as well.
Yeah, it's pretty to watch, isn't it? And that's what we're all about here. So I think that about wraps it up. You know, there was a few other interesting games, but none that really played into the narrative as much as those guys. I think, as you said, the only other one was the Dolphins beating the Patriots.
Yeah, look, the Dolphins beating the Patriots, that would have stuffed the Ravens anyway, but it's funny to see the Patriots go down just going into playoffs. So I wonder if they'll come in with the chip on their shoulder. I think the only other one was the Falcons and the Saints. The Saints got up, but I don't think it mattered in the end, did it?
No, not at all. So, you know, the playoffs are set. I think that gives us a good time to see the standings. We can have a look through a bit of our season recap, review of our predictions. Starting off with the AFC East, they ended up with Buffalo winning, New England coming second, Miami, and then New York Jets rounding that out. We sort of had similar. I think we both had the Bills to win it and then probably just had the Dolphins and the Pats around the wrong way. Finally, we all assumed that the Jets were going to do absolute fuck all.
Yeah, you're right. Look, I think I was pretty high on the Bills and I said 15-2, which is probably a bit optimistic. New England, we were pretty close on it. Dolphins, I nailed at 9-8, but look, I had them in second, I believe, but they didn't end up second. And then Jets won two more than I thought. So I think we weren't too bad on this one.
Yeah, the next interesting one, as we mentioned, the AFC North, the Bengals won it. What a close division too. So the Bengals won it with 10-7. Remember that number. Pittsburgh came second, then Cleveland and Baltimore rounded out with 8 wins each. I myself had the Bengals at 1-16. Coming last, and I believe you had them coming last with 2-15. Is that right?
I think I had, let's look, 3-14.
3-14.
A bit more promise than that, but not much better.
Look, I mean, you look at this, and they've done an absolutely awesome job. They came out, they beat you guys twice, I think, absolutely dominated you as well when you still had Lamar, and that's when you guys were riding. They were sitting at the top of the AFC. We all criticized them at the start because Joe's coming back with a shoddy knee, get some protection for him, your line sucks. They went out and got Jamar Chase. Fuck it. It looks good. It plays good, doesn't it? And that's what you want. The throbber goes out and he throbs, and they absolutely running that all the way through. Sure, I think they got beaten a couple times by some decent teams, but they also showed out. They beat the Chiefs in a big shootout as well, so they're definitely here to stay.
Yeah, absolutely. They had some weird games throughout the year. I think this division was one that we expected to go very differently. Look, I had the Ravens taking it out, a bit of bias at 14-3. I think you also had them pretty high. The Browns is probably one of the biggest disappointments now. I know Baker's, we know how shit he is. But look, the Ravens had a few excuses. I don't know what the excuses the Browns had, and the Steelers were just the Steelers. They seem to somehow get a winning season every year and somehow scraping in.
Yeah, it's very silly. Then moving on, to the AFC South. I think we pretty much picked this to go right, just obviously a little bit iffy on the how many games they won. Titans come in top with the Colts, followed by the Texans and the Jags, which is what I had, although we just had the Titans going a little bit better with 14 wins. But then assuming the Texans and the Jags both got two, so pretty close.
Yeah, not too bad. I had the Titans bang on at 12-5, but after that, yeah, not too much. I had 11-6 Colts, Jags 3-14, which I think that was right, but I had the Texans only winning one game. I was pretty stiff on them. They're one, I think, to look at next year. Davis Mills actually really wasn't too bad as far as rookie quarterback goes, and they've got cash, and look, if they can make the Deshaun Watson trade, they're going to have picks.
Yeah, they get some capital, don't they? And they could really cash in. You feel like they're trying to move on from the old guard, get rid of everything, you know, have a little burnout, have a cookout, get rid of the old bad faces, and then bring in the new freshies and hopefully build some new culture.
Absolutely.
Then the AFC West. So that's sort we didn't really pick that very well at all, except for the Chiefs winning, who started horrendously at the start. So we thought this could be maybe the year that Mahomes slips up. Maybe he's human. But I think we were both pretty bullish on the Chiefs. I had them at 14. They only got 12 wins, so not too bad. Then the Raiders come in, as we said, they're beating the Chargers, and then Denver tucking in last, which is similar to what I had, just the Chargers and the Raiders switched around.
Yeah, I think I had pretty similar. I had 7-10 for the Broncos, which was bang on. The others, I think I was pretty high on the Chargers. I think both of us were a lot higher on the Chargers and a lot lower on the Raiders. The Raiders are a bit of a fairy tale, but that probably ends soon, doesn't it?
Yeah, you think they go one and out, really. Moving on to the NFC, this was the basket case that we assumed was going to get minimal wins. However, some managed to surprise us. The Cows come in first. They had a tremendous season in points, 12-5. Then Philly sneaks in with the wild card spot. Then you have the football team at 7-10 running with their Heineke boy. And the Giants obviously picking up the rear as the retarded little brother. We're pretty much bang on. I had the Cows at 11-6, but then had the football, Giants and Eagles at 5-4 wins each. So did not assume them to do actually much at all.
Yeah, I think we were pretty stiff on this division going into the year. I think we thought they were going to be as basket case as they were the previous year. Now, Cowboys, yeah, we had them winning it. I had them at 9-8. Philly, I only had 4-13. Football team, 7-10, which I got right. Giants, I was a bit higher on than what they actually got, 6-11. Now, Giants have just fired they fired their coach and got rid of the GMs, or he's left. And the funny stat I saw the other day is, they drafted Kadarius Toney. They also picked up Kenny Golladay, neither of which scored a touchdown this year.
Yeah, huge day by them. I'm pretty sure Toney was out there throwing more punches than TDs, to be honest, this year. So he's got a lot to work on in the offseason. But luckily, he plays in a shit division, so it might not be too hard to get any more. Moving on to the NFC North, that went as expected. Green Bay picked up quite easily, but it was the Vikings who were a bit of a surprise packet for us. Followed by the basket case Bears, and the Detroit Lions did jack all.
Yeah, I think this is probably our best division that we picked. I mean, it probably wasn't the hardest one to pick. Packers, straight off the bat, easy win. Nailed that. Vikings, I went a little bit lower on. Bears, I thought they'd do a little bit better, but it was pretty close too. And Lions, I was happy with. Lions with three wins. I think they've shown a lot of promise. Amon-Ra St. Brown is one to watch in the future. He had some serious targets down the end of the season with 90 catches in the end.
Yeah, huge from USC wide receiver U. Then on the NFC South, again, we're pretty much bang on here. So we had Tampa Bay taking it out, followed by New Orleans, the Falcons, and then the Carolina Panthers, another with a bit of a whimper with their rubbish QB.
Yeah, look, yeah, you're right. We're pretty close with this one. The biggest funny thing for me is Carolina Panthers starting the season 3-0. Everyone riding their dicks like it's going out of fashion, thinking they're the hottest thing in the NFL right now. Christian McCaffrey is playing lights out. Sam Darnold looked like a new man. And we got back to the old, didn't we?
Doesn't take too long for everything to reset and, you know, normality to eschew, does it? And then finally, we've got the NFC West. Now, we all sort of knew at the start, we'd circled in and said, this is going to be the one where all four teams could potentially make the playoffs. Now, three of them did. One was a bit of a shit show, but anyways, not too bad, to be honest. So they had the Rams taking out the division with Arizona following up and San Fran with Seattle bringing up the rear.
Yeah, I was definitely higher on San Fran, and Seattle we were both way higher on. They're going to be one of the most interesting ones in the offseason, what happens there with Russell and just what they do in general. I really don't know. They kind of hit the skids there pretty quickly.
Yeah, no, it was just a real turmoil. I was not high on the Rams at all. I think you could sort of see that they had the pieces, but I just thought, you know, the trade of Goff for Stafford was good. We knew that was good, but just wasn't sure if this wasn't going to solve the puzzle, you know? As much as Stafford's been good in Detroit, you just thought, he still looks half-assed. But obviously, Detroit, we can see, was really holding him back quite a lot. And he, you know, he was taking the weight off his shoulders, and now he's able to play freely. And he's actually pulled out some good football. So I eat my words on that one. But, yeah, that's about our season recap, I think. Fairly bang on, so that's why you guys listen to us, because we obviously know more than you.
Yeah, look, we don't want to toot our own horn too much, but we nail a lot of picks.
Look, you know, when you're at the top of the heap of the NFL podcast in Australia, among the 20 to 30s, niche market, I know, but you got to know what to do. So, anyways, as we say, that wraps up the season. What we're going to do is we're going to go through our regular season awardees, so MVP, rookie, and so forth, talk about our surprise packet and our dud of the year. So we'll walk through those and when we get to them. But first of all, let's announce our MVPs. So we don't know who either are. We may have the same position, same person, but interesting to see how each other thought. Cam, who have you got as your MVP?
MVP now, the obvious picks are Rodgers and Brady. I have gone for Tom Brady purely on the fact that, look, he's thrown 5,000 yards, 5,316 to be precise, 67%, 43 TDs and 12 intercepts. Now, for a man of 44 years of age, this is just absolutely out of this world and phenomenal. Like, he was just doing it all and still playing at a level that is unbelievable in this league. Now, I know he's got a good team around him. We're unsure how far they're going to go in the playoffs with a few injuries that have piled up, but he's just played unbelievably for me. And so that's why I've gone Tom Brady MVP.
It's interesting you say that, because I've also gone Tom Brady for the MVP. As you said, he was just lights out for the old man. He actually threw more touchdowns than his age for another year in a row. I think he's got a streak now going, but look, as you said, he led for a reason. I think MVP and why he wins it over Rodgers is Rodgers pretty much has the stat of touchdowns and only four interceptions. So his conversion rate was astounding. Like, and especially since he threw those first two interceptions in the first week against Saints, to go the rest of the year pretty much only throwing two interceptions is wild. However, I think when you look at MVP, I sort of vibe on the person that has dragged their team. And I understand that Rodgers has dragged his team a fair way, and he's done that for the past 10 years. But when you've got a guy who leads the league in passing yards, touchdowns, and he set a single season NFL completion record, you know, your team goes the same record. They both had 13-4. So I think that's what puts it ahead for me. You know, I really appreciate the touchdown interception ratio of Rodgers, but I just think when you're leading the league in so many levels, that's what makes you the best.
Yeah. Oh, look, I agree with you. And I think that's why we've both picked the same one. Now, I think I kind of went there because I thought maybe you'd take Rodgers, but I also think the league will probably, do you think they probably will go Rodgers?
It seems to be leaning that way, to be honest. I think it could be closer than we think, really. As we said, you look through these stats, and that's why I went through. I had a look at the stats and actually saw there is quite a bit of a difference between especially yards, touchdowns. You know, I think Rodgers only got 30, high 30s, 38 yeah. or something like that. So there is a little bit of a difference. But, yeah, I suppose it's also about the narrative as well. So narrative runs it. If there is a bit of narrative down in Packersville, which there is at the moment, I think that's what might push him in front.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so I guess that moves us on from MVP. Who will go Offensive Player of the Year? So that kind of rules out the quarterbacks. Who have you taken?
Yeah, so this is basically the MVP without quarterbacks for those playing at home, wide receivers or running backs, the other guys that do the actual work. So my Player of the Year was the fantasy beast, the GOAT, Cooper Kupp, 145 receptions, 1,947 yards and 16 TDs. Again, I'm talking about league leading. He led the league in receptions, receiving yards and receiving TDs. He was just lights out. And you could tell when he got a real quarterback on his side, he was absolutely balling out.
Yeah, look, the funny thing is here, we've probably got the same mind because I have gone the exact same thing and Cooper Kupp is my guy. Look, Jonathan Taylor's probably up there and he's probably a good chance of getting it, but I couldn't go past Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, it's huge. So now, without repeating ourselves, Defensive Player of the Year, who have you gone?
I feel like this is going to be a repeat. I have three gone in a row. TJ Watt.
Yeah, baby. Yeah,
three in a row. TJ Watt, 22 and a half sacks. He's led the Steelers down the stretch and just absolutely dominated. It was hard to go past him. Look, there's other guys like Myles Garrett, Trayvon Diggs. You know, Diggs we've talked about in the past, letting up so many yards but also getting so many interceptions. He's kind of slowed down in that second half of the year. And Garrett slowed down a little bit, and Donald just did what Donald does. I think he's capable of winning it, but if TJ has done this, that's it for me.
TJ again, big year, as you said, 22 and a half sacks. He tied the record for single season sack record, led the league in sacks. And you got to remember, he also missed a couple of games through injury. So he would have absolutely blown out the sack record if he was there. He also forced five fumbles. I think that was tied fifth in the league. So he's up there and he just made a hell of a lot of tackles. So he deserves it. He deserved it last year, but he's going to get it this year. So that'll lock those in. Now, I think this will be the one where we might differ. We move on to Rookie of the Year with multiple potential candidates. I think there's probably one in mind, but there's definitely three. I think if you will humor me, the nominees are Mac Jones, Ja'Marr Chase, and Micah Parsons. So who has got your number here, Cam?
Yeah, look, those are probably the three main ones. You could probably add in a couple more guys that we liked this year in Rashawn Slater, Creed Humphrey, and Jaylen Waddle is one that I sort of thought came down the end of the year. He got the rookie receiving record for catches throughout the year. But look, if we were to choose an offensive and a defensive, I think we'd go exactly the same. But for rookie of the year, I have gone Ja'Marr Chase. Now, we wrote him off at the start of the year after a few drops in the preseason, and everyone else did. They said, this guy can't catch for shit. Boy, did he prove us wrong. He has broken the rookie receiving record in the same amount of games, even with the added game he already had it prior to that. Plenty of touchdowns, and look, he's just a formidable duo with Joe Burrow going into the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a huge combo there. Yeah, this is where we differ up. I've gone the defensive player, Micah Parsons. He was just an absolute freak of nature on that side of the footy. 84 tackles, up the top in the league, 13 sacks and three fumbles. Like, that's just unreal for a young kid coming in his first year. He was playing multiple different positions. He was just a Mr. Fix-It for the Cowboys on the defense, considering that they are now a defensive threat, which you never thought you would say that before, but he has been one of the catalysts for that this year. So that's who I'm putting forward for my Rookie of the Year. I think he's just been absolutely lights out.
Yeah, he has. Now, look, for the new other awards, I know we probably didn't think about him, but if I could just pick your brain quickly, Coach of the Year and Comeback Player of the Year, what do you like there?
Yeah, look, Comeback Player of the Year, I think has have to have been Joe Burrow. I was really vibing on Dak Prescott earlier in the year for comeback. He had that gruesome injury. And I just thought, you know, he's primed to throw the start of last year, he was primed to throw bulk touchdowns and bulk receiving yards. And that's what he started off at the start of the year. That game against the Buccaneers was ridiculous. He just sent them wild and he was on track. But I just think the rise of Joe Burrow has just put him in front. He led them straight to the top of their division. He's beaten multiple great teams. You got to look on the other side. Dak, yes, he got to the top of his division, but their team lost and actually hasn't beaten a current playoff team this year. So I don't think they're that good. They're quite, I suppose they're almost frauds, to be honest. But he's just throwing bulk throws against dud defenses in the NFC least. So that's why I'm kind of vibing on Burrow for my comeback player of the year. And I'm probably going to stick with the Bengals again and go Zach Taylor, because that was just, he just had a great season with the Bengals, running them through and or calling their plays. And they just, they didn't seem to be able to put a step wrong, to be honest.
No, look, I think those are probably pretty good picks. Now, for myself, comeback player of the year, you're right. Burrow's probably right up there. Dak's right up there. Bosa. I don't mind Bosa. I'll probably go Nick Bosa for this, just something a little bit left field. For coach of the year, I've gone for Mike Vrabel. I think the Titans, I talked about the Ravens getting injured a lot. The Titans have dealt with a lot of injuries as well. I think they're probably equal, if not more, and especially losing Derrick Henry, which is pretty much half their offense. They are still top of the AFC. Now, I don't think they're actually going to go that well in the playoffs. I'm not high on them. But in terms of coaching, this guy's done a stand-up job.
Yeah, it's been a huge year from all those guys, especially considering we literally wrote the Titans off. They were Henry or nothing, but they managed to come through number one in the AFC seed, and they're probably going to get him back for the playoff push.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, now moving on to the next one. We've got our two choices. So our surprise packet of the year and the dud of the year. So these are basically the teams or players that we thought, you know, gave us that little extra kick and that love out of the footy. And then that dud, you know, when you have that little bit of OMO with the boys and you just go, this is a dud. That's what I think about some of these guys. So who is your surprise packet of the year, Cammy?
Surprise packet of the year. Now, look, I wasn't sure when we talked about this, whether it was player or team. So I've just gone safe with team and I've picked the Bengals. Look, looking at what we've just said previously in the last 10 minutes, the Bengals, we had them at 3-14 and 1-16. They've ended up 10-7, top of the division and a chance to go pretty deep into the playoffs. Now, looking into next year, I don't want to go too far forward, but they have one of the most money in the salary cap available for next year. So, look, they can make some splashes. I know they've got to pay a few guys, but it's still not as much as probably what they're owing. They're going to make some splashes in the free agency, and they're going to be a dead-set tough team to watch for the next 10 years.
Yeah, huge. For me, my surprise packet, it's weird that I'm saying this because I absolutely hate these guys with a passion, but for some reason I'm turning around, and it's my boy, Mac Jones and the New England Patriots. You look at the start of the year, this was billed as the QB draft of the decade. There were franchise QBs being dished left, right, and center, with generational talent being literally the most popular phrase during the month of April this year. So, you know, this year we viewed them as a rebuild year for them. They might have got over 500, but we really didn't project them to make much of a splash at all. And basically, they did that and more, qualifying the playoffs. They almost win their division. You know, along the road, they lose close matchups against fellow playoff contenders like the Bucks, the Cowboys, and the Bills. But they took off some big scalps as well. They knocked off the Chargers and the Titans, and they absolutely dussed the Browns when they were supposed to be good as well. So,
yeah,
you know, and who could forget that masterclass win over the Bills in the snow? Like, that was ridiculous. So, I think in that division, we sort of thought that there was the time for the Pats to move over. The Bills were going to sit at the top for the next little while. But I really think that the Pats will be able to find their spot on top of the AFC North for not too long because, you know, Bill Belichick is still doing his thing and he's got quite a great QB in Mac Jones and just a beautiful nucleus that's going to grow out there. And I hate saying this, but I really like watching them play sometimes because you used to hate them with their guts, but now get enough of them. So that was my surprise packet of the year. I just, you know, it's just blowing my mind that I really am throwing so much love to the New England Patriots of all teams.
Yeah, look, I'm with you there. Look, I didn't think I'd ever say I enjoy watching the Patriots play, but look, good teams don't stay down for long and they only stay down for a year and they are back.
No, that's it. All right. And who is your dud of the year?
Yeah, this is a toss-up between two. Now, I've gone with the Browns. We really went high on the Browns, and they've cost us big time. We put a bet on with Meikle. Meikle said, no way these guys are finishing over 500. And they finished 7-9 or whatever it ended up being, 7-10, 8-9, 8-9, I think, because they bet the Bengals and depleted Bengals in the last week. So we will be sculling our 2 liters of milk in the next week or so and filming that and putting it on our socials as we are men of our word and we will do this bet. But look, The Browns had a talented roster top to bottom. Wide receiver was a bit of an issue after OBJ left, not that he was good there. But other than that, these guys were stacked. Offensive line stacked, defensive line stacked, corners safety stacked, running backs dominant, Baker stinks. That's pretty much the sums it up, because I think they're a good enough team. They're a QB away from being a pretty decent team still.
Yeah, massively. For myself, the dud of the year, the OMO. Look, it's probably a bit hard to call these guys the dud of the year, considering, you know, the amount of cellar dwellers that were floating around, and they were just absolutely stinky. But I think the fact that we didn't even vibe them. So I'm considering the potential that these guys have. They did not live up to the hype at all. It was the Seattle Seahawks. They looked primed and ready to rip and tear this year. They had brought back Wilson from the brink of a trade. They tried to shore up some holes in their offense and defense, so they plugged the bits that they thought were really issues, and they were ready to go for a playoff run. Look, they were always going to have a tough division. We knew this from the start, but they just had no sign. The Legion of Boom is dead, and they just had no signs of life whatsoever. The defense was basically a TD carousel, and the offense was not able to chase down those points at all. So I know Russell struggled with an injury there, and Geno looked like he might actually be able to save the day there for a bit. And that's saying something, because he stinks. But, you know, the misfiring offense, you know, you had stars like Metcalf, who was just, he was just rocks and diamonds for a guy that had so much talent, and he's just throwing around spitting the dummy all the time, kicking stones. Their dead running core was just woeful. That was just awful. And it was just too big a bridge for them to climb. And they come through with their first losing season in about the last 10 decade or so.
Yeah, you're right. Look, we were pretty high on him. It was nice to see a bit of life pumped into Rashad Penny at the end of the year. He was pumping out some good numbers. So there's at least some promise there at the running back with him. He actually looked really decent at the end of the year, but I'm curious to see what this team does in the offseason, because I think they're going to make some changes.
All right. So that wraps up our awards, and I think we're going to move into the next segment. All right, again, for the end of the regular season, it is Meikle's Hot Minute. He welcomes us back again. How are you going, Meikle?
Yeah, going great. It's always good to have the only playoff team, so I can't complain at all.
Yeah, do you feel like a fraud at all that you're managing to squeeze in another game for this year?
Oh, yeah, look, do we deserve to be there? Probably not, but at the end of the day, we've had a good run, and we'll see how we go.
Well, hopefully Jalen Hurts can run you guys towards a playoff win, because I know that's what you like to see. What's hot in your minute this week?
Well, it was a good end of the season, because in the preseason we were discussing team records, and you both had the Cleveland Browns at 13-4 and 12-5, being very hot. And I did laugh at this and said you'd lost the plot, so I did make a little wager that the Browns would have a losing season. I mean, this was on the basis that losing in Cleveland is just institutionalized, and they have a bottom five quarterback in the league. Both outrageous statements from what the experts were predicting, but I couldn't have planned it going any better. In 2021, Mayfield ranked 27th or 5th last for QBR among starters, only above some rookies and Sam Darnold, and threw 17 touchdowns against 13 interceptions. In fact, since 2018, Baker has thrown the most interceptions with 54, and is 4th in intercept percentage over that time. This is particularly concerning, given his big positive coming out of college was he was accurate, didn't turn the ball over, and this was a key reason why he was taken 1 overall. Now, his supporters like to point out he's been playing hurt all year. Well, let's clear up. His injury was to his non-throwing shoulder, and you don't see Aaron Rodgers making excuses having a broken toe. There's no other way to put it than he's an absolute bust and coach killer. He's now onto his third coach in 4 years, and every year he seems to allude to internal problems as to the reason why they're losing. He's also chased out players out of town, and Nene seems to be playing quite well, which is pretty unsurprising. With such a talented roster, Cleveland would be crazy to pick up his fifth-year option for $19 million. Johnny Football only lasted 2 seasons in Cleveland, and Baker is Johnny if you ordered him on the Wish. It's time to move on and try and be successful.
Couldn't agree more. I don't know what. I must have had rocks in my head at the start of the year, because I was all over Baker Mayfield. I had him as a top 10 QB, but you watch him this year and then you wipe the nostalgia off your eyes and you realize that he's actually just been shit this whole time. And you're not quite sure why you think he's any good. And then the realization starts to settle in. And then by that in, you've already predicted that they're going to go 12-4 or something like that. So it was a tough year to watch for them, especially because, you know, as we said, we had the milk bet. We had a futures division winners bet, which that lost on them as well. We just had so much riding on the Browns, and they had so much promise, and they just did not deliver whatsoever. And I think Baker Mayfield has got to be resigned to being either a backup or playing in the CFL or the Alliance Football when it reforms, or XFL, whatever it's called next time.
Oh, yeah. Look, yeah, this was a really tough one to swallow. We had stiff meat for him at the start of the year, both you and I. Well, not for him, for the Browns themselves, but we didn't think Baker was as bad as what we thought. But he has proved Meikle correct. And our biggest issue is here that the Browns are talking about bringing him back next year, which is absolutely diabolical.
Yeah, I mean, 19 mil, nearly 20 mil. I mean, that's almost franchise quarterback money. And yeah, I mean, you could make the argument who else is out there, but geez, I don't think he could play much worse than he did this year. And they've got a talented roster. It's not like they're rebuilding or anything like that. They're almost one piece away. And I just, you can't keep doing the same thing and expect to win.
Nah, that's just the definition of idiot lunacy, really. So it's a bad year for the Browns. It's really one of lost opportunity. Another year gets closer to these, or this whole team leaving, because you got to think all these guys' contracts, you know, the guys like they got Myles Garrett, they brought in Jadeveon Clowney. You know, they had guys on the offense, OBJ left, but they've still got, you know, Chubb. It's just, it's there. But if they use another year of Baker, that's wasting another year of these other guys' contracts. And then it's just going to be harder and harder to fit these guys' contracts under the salary cap.
Yeah, oh, absolutely it will be. The issue is they've got pick 13 in the draft. I don't know where they go with that. I don't know what the quarterbacks are like and whether they're willing to take one. If they don't go with Baker, do they go to a veteran or do they draft one?
I don't think you can draft one. I think you can't bring a rookie quarterback into a team and expect him to perform, really. I mean, you see how the rookies have gone this year. I mean, I think they could even go a backup veteran at this point, just a game manager and do a better job. Like, I mean, it's a bit biased, but if you take Minshew out of Philadelphia, does he make that team better? Probably. The 49ers move on and go with Trey Lance. Could they get Garoppolo? I think that's probably a better option. They don't have to get, like, someone that's higher profile, like a Wilson or like that. I just think I need someone that's just going to play a bit better.
Yeah, you put a bit of pressure on a team to try and maybe squeeze out a QB or something from them. You could get them for fairly cheap as well. So it's not out of the question. Probably better than dipping into the draft this year. They are talking about this being one of the worst of draft classes for QBs. And if these are the I don't know what these scouts are looking at, because if they're thinking that guys like Trevor Lawrence and Baker Mayfield are worth number one picks, obviously, and then they think these next guys are garbage, how much garbage are they actually going to be when they rock up to the NFL? But yeah, look, I don't know how much they're going to add. So I think that rolls curtains for the close for the Browns for this season. But won't be the curtains for Meikle's Hot Minute, especially this week. We're going to have you staying around for our next little segment, which is going to be playoff contenders or pretenders. So we're going to run through the list of playoff teams and who we think is going to be the pretender or a contender. Controversy Corner style, if anyone has seen that great show, unlimited viewing. So anyways, I think we'll start off with the Packers. I'm going out on a limb here and saying that they're probably contenders. Am I right?
Yeah, I'd go contenders. They got home field as well. I don't think they've lost a game there all year. Definitely contenders.
Yeah, it pains me to say they're contenders as well. As Meikle just said, the home field advantage is far too good. I have them potentially slipping up, as they've known to do previously in the post years when they've still looked just as good and had the home field advantage. But I think this year they do make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Rodgers loves a loss in the NFC Championship. So whether he can keep that streak alive or break the curse, we'll wait and see. Moving on to the next team, I'm just going down the league ladder, so this will probably be top to bottom. Bucks, contenders or pretenders?
I would love to say pretenders, but you can't ever rule out Tom Brady. Despite the absolute circus that's going on there at the moment, I think I have to put him as contenders.
Yeah, so I was borderline as well with this one. Now, I don't have them going to the NFC Championship purely on the fact that they've lost talent. As Meikle just said, like, there's guys, the basket case that is the Bucks at the moment, losing, what, Antonio Brown, they lost Godwin. They got Shaq Barrett back, which is a big addition this week. I'm not sold on them. The Eagles could cause the first upset of the weekend, but I think the Bucks are still reasonable contenders. Sorry.
Gee whiz, that's a huge call. But I think, yeah, Bucks contenders there. They look good. I think the thing is they're bigger than one guy. We've seen that they'll be able to carry up. I don't think they'll be able to push all the way to the end, because when you need that push comes to shove to win those close critical games, you need the special players, and they're sort of missing those. So, yeah, probably going to win a couple games, but fall short. Moving on to the Titans. I have them looking at contenders purely on the fact that Henry is going to come back and run his guts through the middle.
Yeah, I've got it as contenders as well. I haven't really rated the Titans all year, but they just seem to turn up and they keep beating good sides as well. Number one seed, I think it's pretty hard to argue that they're anything but contenders.
I'm going to go against the grain here and call these guys pretenders. Now, I know they're getting Derrick Henry back. They have beaten some decent sides, but running down the stretch here, they're pretty injured. They lost to the Texans, the Patriots. They beat the Jags, lost to the Steelers, just shot past the 49ers, beat the Dolphins, and nearly lost to the Texans again on the weekend. I'm not sold on these guys. I think if the Bengals meet them, I think the Bengals will roll over them.
Yeah, very big call there. They're moving on to the Chiefs. Likely contenders here. I think they're clearly just clicking all the right cylinders at the moment. They've got everything running. They've got their pass game going. I think their only issue at the moment is still that run game, because they managed to plug those holes on defense that we're worried about. And Mahomes has stopped throwing interceptions now. But it's just that run game. I think if they're not able to keep drives alive and shorten the distance and make those third downs potentially at the stretch short to gain, they're going to have a struggle. So I've got them in contenders, but probably not coming to the Super Bowl for me.
For sure, contenders to me. I think at the start of the year, I mean, the defense was diabolical and Mahomes was trying to do everything, so he wasn't playing his best either. I think the defense has sorted themselves out, which has helped Mahomes as well. The offense is backfiring on all cylinders. I think, again, they're pretty good at home, so I've got them as contenders.
Yeah, I've gone the same. Contenders, look, earlier in the season, we kind of had question marks over them with the defense. They've fixed that up, as Zach just said. I've got them potentially lifting the Lombardi Trophy and Jackson Mahomes to do a TikTok dance in the middle of the field afterwards.
All right, now the Cowboys. What have we got here?
I've got them as pretenders. I think they'll win maybe one, possibly two playoff games, but the Cowboys are just the Cowboys. I don't think they're ever going to go that far. I mean, they have been good this year, but again, they're in our division, which wasn't that crash hot. So they didn't have a really hard schedule. I just don't see them beating quality sides.
Yeah, look, I'm a bit concerned here with this one. Zach alluded earlier in this segment that the Cowboys haven't beaten a playoff team, I believe. And initially I had the 49ers to beating them in the first week. However, Michael has got into my head and we've got the Cowboys going all the way to the NFC Championships, knocking off the Bucks. So I'm going to have to call them contenders.
Yeah, look, that's fucking wild, to be honest, if I've got to excuse my French there. the fact that you think that is outstanding, and I applaud you for that decision. But look, essentially, I think the only playoff team, the current playoff team that they have beat is the Eagles, and the Eagles are dog shit. So I don't see them making a splash at all. They're going out in straight sets to the 49ers with Debo Samuel rushing, throwing, and catching a touchdown pass. So looking for that triple threat. Then moving on, we've got the Rams, LA. Stafford makes his return to the playoffs, and that's why I see them being contender and running it all the way through to the big game.
Yeah, I'm a bit torn here. I mean, first week I made the bold call that they were going to go all the way and win the Super Bowl with Stafford. So, I mean, I'm going to have to stick by that with contender, but geez, they haven't looked good. He's turning the ball over a lot more than he was at the start of the year. If I was making this selection now, it'd be a bit different, but I'm going to stick true to my word and I'm going to go contender.
Yeah, look, I'd probably have him as contender. As Michael just said, he's really turning over the ball a lot. I think he led the league in intercepts going towards the end of the year with Trevor Lawrence maybe, or Burrow. But I think me having the Cowboys winning and calling them contenders, I'm going to have to say the Rams are potentially pretenders purely on the fact that if they win this first week against the Cards, the Cowboys do win, as I said. They're going to Lambeau, and I think they're going to get done there. So I'm going to call them pretenders losing in the second week.
Yeah, moving on to the Buffalo Bills. They are my contenders. I'm sticking strong. They were my Super Bowl pick at the start of the year, and I'm backing them in. I just think they ooze talent at the moment. They're quality all over the field. I think they've got obviously like some superstars in Diggs, and Allen's been really good. But you sort of look and they don't have those elite level players at the moment that you just think have led the league in anything. So I think across the board, it's a solid team and that's what's going to get them through the playoffs.
Yeah, they're my AFC pick, so they have to be contenders. They just play tough football. Big fan of Josh Allen. Good defense. I think they're going to come out of the AFC.
Look, I'm going to have to go contenders. I think they're kind of hoping that the Steelers somehow knock off the Chiefs, because I think them having to go to Arrowhead in the second week, purely on the fact that if Chiefs win and the Bills win, they're probably going to play each other. So I think they do lose in that second week, but look, they're contenders for sure.
Yeah, moving on to the Cardinals, I've got them as firm pretenders. I just think they started off the year hot, 7-0, and we thought that these guys could go undefeated, but they've really shown there's holes in there. I think Kyler Murray, he can be on and off. He doesn't seem to have, without D-Hop, he just doesn't seem to have that receiver that he's confident to go to in the clutch times, and I think they're going to struggle for that.
Yeah, huge pretenders for me. I covered this a couple of weeks ago, but they barely won a game in the second half of the year. Their first round effort for me.
Yep, I think that's pretty fair. I think, yeah, after the 7-0, we were both pretty bullish on them. We said, I don't think they're that good, and they got proven correct. They could upset the Rams week one, but I don't see it happening. I think they're pretenders and they should early exit.
Then following on, we got the Bengalis. They come in, I'm liking them pretenders. They've done all the hard work. They deserve to come in. They'll probably win a game or two. I don't see them going all the way, but I certainly see them playing an annoying card, especially because they look like a team, whereas if you have a slow start or you give them a sniff, they can be there right till the end and put real trouble in you.
Yeah, I've got them as pretenders. I think they're still another year or two away. I mean, they've got a really good young core there. I think they'll beat the Raiders in the first week, but I think they're just a year or two away. So pretenders for me.
So my thought process here is a bit all over the shop. Initially this morning I had Raiders potentially beating them in the first week, but as Michael said, I don't think the fairy tale continues on to the playoffs. Now I'm going to have to call them contenders because I've got them going to the AFC Championships against the Chiefs purely on the fact that I think if they get the Titans, they can roll past the Titans. And as Michael said, I think they're probably a year away from being genuine contenders because they've got a lot of salary cap next year to use, so they'll make some splashes.
Well, there you go. It looks like you're all over there, the beautiful mind. Hey, you got things going on in the background and equations, but that's all good. What do we think about the Raiders then? I've got them as absolute pretenders. They squeaked in. Their defense has been playing quite well, and I think Carr is serviceable every now and again, but as a team who's going to come up with some quality opposition, I don't think they're going to be able to stand the test.
Yeah, pretenders for me. I mean, great story with everything that's gone wrong this year in that crazy last game. For them to get in, I think that's almost a win. Like, their season's almost complete now. I think it won't even be close this first week. I think they've used up all their energy, and I think it'll be a bit of a blowout. So, pretenders.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you here. I think, yeah, as Michael said, well done for them for getting there. They are pretenders. It's interesting that Sid from Toy Story has dragged them all the way there, but he's actually played pretty well this year.
All right, and then the Patriots, I'm going to come out and just say they're pretenders as well. Look, they've done this well. They surprised us by actually getting into the playoffs for starters. Mac Jones has been probably the best quarterback out of the draft, which no one saw coming. But I think they're just not going to have enough quality and class to knock off some of these top teams. So they go up against the division rival. I think this is going to be the interesting matchup, though. They go to Buffalo. So snow pending. We could see Mac only throw it 3 or 4 times again.
Yeah, pretenders for me. I think, you know, when they were leading the division, there was a few Patriots fan posturing again, calling that was going to be another dynasty. But if you have a look over the last couple of weeks, when they've had to rely on Mac Jones to throw, he's actually turned the ball over quite a lot and hasn't been that great. I think he's a product of their environment. I don't think he's actually as elite as everyone saying he was. Massive pretenders for me. I don't think they're making a splash.
Yeah, these guys are probably pretenders. I think they did themselves no favours last week. If they'd beaten the Dolphins, they sit themselves in 5th, I believe, and they would have taken on the Bengals, and that's a game I believe they potentially could have won. But now, taking on the Bills, I think they're pretenders.
Yeah, huge. Getting to the pointy end now, I'm looking at the 49ers as a genuine contender here. They go away and they knock off the Cows quite easily. And they're just they can be quite a good team. As we said last year, they were an elite team. They just had a lot of injuries and that crueled them. When Jimmy Garoppolo gets playing, he's quite good. They've got a really lethal defense with Bosa leads. And just a couple of those guys, as he said, Debo Samuel, he's just firing on all four parts of the game, really.
I have to completely disagree. I think they're massive pretenders to me. I think this will be the biggest blowout of the first week. I'm not sure how they scraped in, to be honest. They got very lucky that they beat the Rams to scrape in over the Saints. They may as well not be there for me.
Based on my predictions for the playoffs, I'm going to have to go pretenders. Initially, I had them causing an upset, but I've changed my mind. They are pretenders.
And then moving on to the cellar dwellers of the playoffs. Look, the Steelers, they're just run by the Pie Man, and they're just going to be horrible, absolute pretenders, these guys. They shouldn't be anywhere near this. They are better than the Eagles, I will say that, but they still don't deserve to be here either.
Yeah, unbelievable they made it, to be honest. They had so much go their way. And for the Colts to blow it, I mean, that was just an absolute disaster. I mean, Big Ben had his swan song a couple of weeks ago. He's thinking like he was never going to be in this situation. So, yeah, pretenders for me.
Yeah, the fact that these dickheads are back here again absolutely does my head in. They are a first-round exit, and I cannot stand it, and I hope I never see them again in the playoffs.
I think it just shows when you've got a QB that throws rather than runs, you can actually win games. Hey, isn't that right?
Oh, no question. I think three teams in that division are looking for a quarterback next year, aren't they?
Yeah, look, that's a story for another day.
Finally, let's get into it. The Eagles, they're absolute pretenders. They are just junk. I don't know. Look, I know you hate Hurts. And look, he's done a job, but he's going to get absolutely found out by some of these defenses and absolutely monstered.
I mean, I'm going to have to go contenders just because they're my team. I mean, I hate it, but I'm going to have to do it. Quarterback's horrible. I mean, we do have a very good defense, good run game. And actually, out of the teams we could have played, Rams, Cowboys, or Tampa, I actually probably fancy ourselves against Tampa the most given what's going on there. So I don't hate the matchup, but yeah, I mean, it's a long shot.
Yeah, look, I agree. They are pretenders. The fact that they're there is quite impressive, actually. Their second half of the season was really good in terms of turning it around after being 2-5. Jalen Hurts, the only running quarterback in the playoffs. I really hope he goes deep because we're a big fan of the running quarterbacks here.
Huge word there. All right, you've got all the list of us. The playoffs are ready to rip and tear. We're ready to rip and tear, so we can't wait. And it's going to be a fun weekend, isn't it? Thanks again for joining us, Michael, and we'll see you next time.
No problems.
Yeah, easy done. So let's wrap that up. That's the NFL. Now, moving on to the final game of the college. Apologies last week. I did, for some reason, say it was on the 14th. I was incorrect. It was yesterday on the Tuesday. Georgia play Alabama. Georgia looking to break a 41-year title drought. The Dogs managing to do it with the mailman, Stetson Bennett, a previous walk-on, a backup for multiple championship games before that. Was a backup at the start of the year as well, comes in, takes over the starting role for the second half of the season and delivers the title to the Dogs, 33 over Alabama, 18.
Yeah, story of the day really was the defense for Georgia, as it was all year. Look, Bama had ample opportunities in the red zone and they couldn't convert, kicking lots of field goals. They got a touchdown late. One of the biggest plays of the game for me, which I thought was really going to turn the tide, for lack of a better term, was the fumble, like the sack fumble. And the guy, the person who caught the ball in the field didn't even look like he was attempting to get it. Kept a foot in and grabbed it, and they got a turnover, but didn't come away with the points. Look, that's a turning point in the game there for not getting the points in the red zone. Georgia too good in the end, and look, fair play to them. They were the best all year.
Yeah, look, they really were. It was that stout defense, wasn't it? The first half, actually, there was no TDs whatsoever. It was just a grind game. And as you said, Alabama had multiple chances on the line. I think there were plenty of drives that ended up on the goal line of Georgia, and they held strong. Bend, don't break type stuff, and it was great to watch. Then the mailman rolled out and started dropping in some bombs, to be honest. And he played well, but you can see why he's probably going to finish up his college career, Bennett, and probably he might find his way onto an NFL roster, but I can't say from a national championship winning quarterback, he's probably not going to roll straight into a side.
Yeah, and it's funny, you find that with a lot of national championship winning quarterbacks is they're probably not the best guys. They've got a red hot team. They're not essentially the best guys that make it to the league. Yeah, I like the way the Georgia played this in the second half of the game. Once they went down, they actually started opening up and not playing sort of methodical football that they're used to playing, just short downs, get it down the field, roll it in, because their running game is really nice. Look, Bama's going to bounce back next year. Bryce Young will be back next year, and he'll have a plethora of guys. I saw that they've already had five or six enter the transfer portal, but they'll be back next year. Georgia will be back next year. They could both make it again. I think Georgia will lose a lot of talent to the NFL, so we'll see what happens there, but it was a great game. Georgia thoroughly deserved it.
Yeah, look, and that's what college football is all about. It was amazing to watch. I was glad because that was my pick of the winner, so I managed to take home the cashola for that one, which was good. But I think finishing up college football, it's going to be a mad end of season. We have mentioned the transfer portal multiple times, and it is going into overdrive. Majority of quarterbacks that were starting this year have all entered the transfer portal from multiple Power 5 teams. They're all looking for new homes, and I don't think they're going specifically to try and win a championship. You know, no one's lining up at Alabama and Georgia's door to come in and, you know, almost be part of a list that is almost going to win a championship. A lot of them just want to be on a team that has them being the main guy, and they're going to give themselves the focal point to rise their draft stock. And I think that's what it's going to come. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, whether these guys focus more on the team or whether they're just worried about their draft stock, and it could certainly change the look of college football forever.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really curious to see what happens. We are pretty excited for next year. I think USC is rolling back the early 2000s football, and Tennessee is back the late 90s football. So Tennessee football is back.
Yeah, it's exciting to see. I can't wait. We're going to get Caleb Williams soon. Lincoln Riley's going to bring back the glory days. It's huge. It's huge. So I think but that wraps us up for this week. The end of the regular season. It's been a huge season. Can't believe where it's gone, but the best football is still ahead of us.
Yeah, 100% it is. And look, we're excited for the playoffs. We're going to see if our playoff predictions are correct, and we'll come back next week and see how we fared.
Easy done. And we will see you all next time.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.